This is my first reading in Ireland, which is very special. So it's a real pleasure to be here. Came over this afternoon on the plane, so literally this is the first place that we've seen in Cork. So my impressions so far are really good. So it's a real pleasure, and I'm going to read from my new collection, Bloodchild, and hopefully, if it's okay with you guys, I'm going to start with a long poem. It's roughly take about sort of 10 minutes-ish to read, just give you a forewarning really. But it's the title poem, it's called Bloodchild. And I should say many of the poems in this book are kind of influenced by folklore, or kind of version of local folklore that I make up, because Liverpool doesn't really have that much itself, so I'm sort of inventing some for it. Yeah, I know, it's not quite how it's supposed to work. This kind of draws on some of those themes or motifs. Bloodchild. Behind the house, a single stark tree. Cherries still ripe, though it is midwinter. Bleached fruit on bare branches ooze like a cut thumb. Each drop in slow motion falling onto hard soil. Inside, in a silent kitchen, on a metal table, apples curdle in a handmade bowl. Mulched bills ferment on varnished pine. In the garden past the pond, the tree stretches like spilt ink, over tall, bent back, to eye a yellow crescent, crisp in a fold of cloud. Black night glass reflects back the dead centre of a pupil. Blood drips from the mouth of the house. Blood floods the dry seas of the moon. On the stained glass window of the empty hall, red flecks fall, become ice as hail chimes angular to grey pebble dash, and dripping blood begins to take a form of a red ice child creature, gleaming like a ruby, standing silent at the wind-open door. The storm glowers behind the outline like a tiger. It roars, but she cannot hear him. You are not there to listen for her. The hallway is an empty blue. Books rattle in their case. Outside, she stands like death. The door closes in her face. Blood drips from the mouth of the house. Blood floods the dry seas of the moon. Where are you? Are you asleep in bed upstairs or running breathless down the street? Maybe you don't live here anymore. Are you away in a cottage in the woods or on a moving train, window patch black smacked with yellow? Are you underwater, swimming through the last swathe of the tide? Are you listening for wolves at the back of your mind? Are you in a hospital, deep under sterile silver and nurses blue? Yes, where are you? Blood drips from the mouth of the house. Blood floods the dry seas of the moon. Our mother has gone missing. She has gone to ground. I sing, abandoned at the outskirts of the town. Our mother has gone missing. She has gone to ground. I sing as wolves prowl around. Our mother has gone missing, she has gone to ground. I sing a shining knife in hand. Our mother has gone missing, she has gone to ground. I sing full voiced with the choir of the land. Yes, where are you? In the garden, the tree flinches, scratched by rats, the storm sifted from the watercourse. Small muscular movements smatter on a shield of dark. Cherry's gone, turned to child, who crouches on the front step. Red ice storm creature, as bloodied as prey, silent as an unknown song. As the snow comes along, the tree sighs and bows and stretches again. Undertall, copying the hill, bends down. In the house, on the living room floor, a wool rug turns to water. Small boats sail to wind-fed shores. Blood drips from the mouth of the house. Blood floods the dry seas of the moon. Are you underground, in the cellar or soil, hiding in the mulch and leaves? Are you rooted in the dirt or rolled up in the rot, heart beating slow, lost light in your eye? Or are you in the woodpile, kneeling under last year's pine, needles sticking into folded skin? Or are you gone from here, aloof in the wind like a wild goose journeying south from darkness? Guarded soil untended, land unturned. Are you unbecome, laid bare in the last light of the winter sun? Blood drips from the mouth of the house. Blood floods the dry seas of the moon. In the kitchen, the tap drips a slow red drop onto stainless steel clouded with washing up soap. White light filters in through an open window. Outside, the garden heaves in wind, one breath. A figure runs along the alley, a child or fox, but closer, starry red, her bright face at the glass. The tree paws the soil like a horse, a branch turning over loose earth with a sway, a lilt, a whip, a crack, but only as far as the roots will allow. What is the spell that holds them still? Blood drips from the mouth of the house. Blood floods the dry seas of the moon. It is the spell of silence, child. She doesn't speak to the house. It is the spell of silence, child. She doesn't speak to the frost. It is the spell of silence, child. She doesn't sound in her throat. It is the spell of silence, child. So she doesn't feel the loss. Yes, where are you? And the rats run to the river, and the dogs run to the river, and the chimneys spark like kindling. From far west flickers a firestorm through the town, soot and smoke. Sea buckling in distance, a hot avalanche across frost-crested rooftops. The red ice blood creature waits on the doorstep, listens for a high-pitched wail from the garden, fat of a song. The tree is whipping hard against the fence, it cannot run. Branches stacked one on one form a shield, the fire comes. Blood drips from the mouth of the house. Blood floods the dry seas of the moon. The house raises its head, tips back its neck. In the hall, a vase falls south, a ship in a storm. Empty glasses smash their silence inside the kitchen cabinets. A knitted doll tumbles down stripped wood stairs. And underneath, in foundations, bricks plough down into sandy earth like a rudder, and the bow of the building turns for the river. The roof flips like a flag, and the whole house dredges through molten earth, which parts like waves, splitting the garden wall, tarmac road. Inside the schism, tree roots hang like curls. Blood drips from the mouth of the house. Blood floods the dry seas of the moon. In the wall of mud, each frond turn forms a human face, oval-shaped, which calls out, "Where are you?" Fire on the horizon crumples church towers as the red ice storm creature starts to drip and ooze. A snowman after snow has gone. Warmth sighs the sides of her small girl shape and becomes a spring, a stream, a brook, a tidal river shifting mud and roots to form a gorge with wooded sides. Through leaves two figures run, girl and woman, each a ruby mark amongst a balsat green. Blood drips from the mouth of the house, blood floods the dry seas of the moon. And their melting blood flattens the fire. At the crest of the ridge, as large as the sun, lamp-lit town below like embers in the hearth, steam in the street now, quiet as cold. The woman who was a tree reaches out a hand to catch a crescent painted onto navy cloth, tilts it back and forth, then picks up her child, the red ice blood creature, and pours her like lava into the crust of the moon, staining it sticky, and the light spills like wine over the valley, and a single cherry tree in a garden behind an empty house, the fruit still ripe though it is midwinter. Blood drips from the mouth of the house, blood floods the dry seas of the moon. I'm going to follow that piece, some shorter pieces. The book does have three long poems in it, and I like long poems. And sometimes my set is just long poems, but I've decided tonight to just do one and then mix it up a little bit. I like a long poem. So I'm going to read you a couple of pieces from a sequence, sorry, not quite a long poem, but a sequence of poems, called Arne's Progress. And what you need to know is that Arne is half man, half eagle, and he's travelling across the landscape of Liverpool. Does anyone know Liverpool very well?
No.
Okay, a couple of people do. So we've got the Mersey River, and then we've got the city itself. We've got two cathedrals. We've got the Anglican Cathedral and the Catholic Cathedral on top of the hill, and lots of Georgian houses in between. And the Anglican Cathedral has a cemetery called St. James's Cemetery, which is very Gothic and very atmospheric. So Arne is sort of travelling around this landscape, and we first meet him when he's actually in a small boat travelling across the River Mersey. Okay, it's a long introduction. It's called Arne's Progress. This is called Crossing Over. As he sails the coracle of willow and skins, his bird eyes mirror the moon behind cloud. Spring tide drags west, but he paddles east. Water seeps through the stitching, a little like blood. Arne buckles his weight over the hump of the river, the small craft alive on the back of the wave. As he waits for the hook to reveal his possessions, pot of ink, hunk of amethyst, a drawing of a storm framed in gold and made of light. He wraps these in hessian, a swaddle of ornament, pulls up a line as the clouds move south. Rain simpers along the Welsh mountains, calling, go home now, find a dent in the earth and burrow in. He sings to the wind, rows the harrying waters. Across the estuary, a ship bell starts to ring. An Irish ferry slows its entry into the detritus of objects on the river awaiting the storm. A broken slate, rat's corpse, torn lace, a mirror. The thought of the future in a golden case, open to spray, velvet inlay sodden with salt. A handful of red hair floats like a jellyfish, caught in the to and fro, in the froth of the drag. A cormorant extends its shining black feathers as he walks ashore on the bone of the wing. So he arrives in Liverpool and he heads up to the cathedral, to St. James's Infirmary. And what you need to know here is that the graveyard is actually a 19th century cholera graveyard, and there's an epidemic in the city. So he's tending to the ghosts. In the graveyard, the children have cholera. They lie on stretchers, on iron-framed hospital beds. He is mopping their foreheads with mildew, parchment, moss, quietness, and winter rain, which he did until just before dawn. Long hours of talk, laughter, occasional song. The light from the moon made everything white. He gave them gifts of fresh river water, and they drank with their mouths as silent as stars. Small hands cupped around the tankard, milk teeth tapping on the cold edge of copper. I'm just picking from the sequence because he's taking this journey across the landscape. I'll just read one more from this. This poem's called Cortege, and in this poem we meet travelling down a long avenue of trees, and he's driving a hearse with horses. Cortege. With reins folded under his third finger and thumb, black horses, high-step oiled hooves, feathered plumes raided their bridles. The avenue pulses and flames and windows smash. A lad struggles forward, head bloodied. A police van screeches round the corner out of view. The horses do not bolt or flinch, but hold their heads up high as a parked car ignites and burns out in a breath. Ard gathers the embers and tar into a jar, the ashes he places in the back of the hearse. Spring flowers entwine sister along the coffin lid, and on he drives as lampposts scale back from sodium to oil and a setting sun dampens the fire. A bulldozer gorges and then terraces eyes. As an old woman in her kitchen watches through the window, a cup of tea in her shaking hands. And on he drives over cherry blossoms splattered on tarmac, while a man at the bus stop scrambles through a sandstorm to a hut in a village where a brother was murdered. At the traffic lights, an ATA pounces from the junction and ploughs straight through the oncoming hearse. His horses enjoying the sensation of diesel, sweat and steam in their bellies, in their long flowing manes. They emerge on the other side, still composed, still clattering home. So we'll leave on driving off around Liverpool. I'll just read a couple of other shorter pieces about the city. This is a very short sort of quasi-sonnet. It's 14 lines, but it's not really because it doesn't rhyme. It's called Tide. Behind the railway cutting, curtained windows are still drawn tight. Aerial masts on newly tiled roofs point east. A train from Manchester scowls west further into the lock of houses, over the bridge to the scraps of hedges where the foxes live, border crossing the line at dusk to the mystery and the school car park, and always down towards the sea that is pulling all movement out with its back arched, the landscape on ropes, the city afloat, dragging all to the horizon. Water at our knees, gulls on the bow. I should say the mystery is the name for Wavertree Park, because nobody knows who owns it, so it gets called the mystery. People go to walk their dogs on the mystery. I live next to the mainline rail, as you gather, I read about. I like industrial heritage quite a lot, so I live right next to the sort of one of the oldest railways in the oldest railway in the world, I think. So this poem is sort of about listening to the trains as they sort of trundle past my flat, and it's called Mainline Rail. Back to backs, some of the last, and always just below the view, a sunken tide of regular sound. West to the river, south to elsewhere. And sometimes we travel together as I slink into their sleep whilst I sleep, settled beside a mother with a child coiled in her lap, click-clacking into darkness, coming heavy, pushing at the edges of the carriage. And sometimes the track returns us on the late train to the end of my bed. Luggage in one hand, my jumper in another, until they fling themselves out of the open window, flit through ivy, nettles and wire to meet the fast train home, waking in a stuffy carriage, an image of my room in their eye, the tone of the city in their ear, in the thrust of the train's rush, towards the sea and out of here. I had the great pleasure of working with an English folk singer called Emily Portman, who, if you like English folk music, is amazing, and she is reworking a lot of the sort of traditional ballads, particularly the murder ballads and the kind of darker elements of the tradition. So we got together one day and sort of did our own kind of poetry music workshop. In which she told me a lot about the history of ballads and I had a go at writing one. So I'm just going to read this to you now. So it's completely invented, it's not a ballad, and it doesn't really follow the ballad form, but yeah, there's some deviations. And it's called Sealed Skin. Slightly referencing the idea of the Selkie. Yeah. Sun shifts through the cloud's broken shade. A red fox flits like a bee. She runs as fast as the east wind blows, from the motorway to the sea. In the house at the edge of town, her family keeps within. A girl's shape in a leaded jar, the memory of her skin. Her body forms from shifting sun, cloud water becomes a lake. As she runs like wild earth turns, leaves from the spring bud ache. And she runs without her skin, a glimpse from a passing train, a shimmering ghost in fading dawn through the bracken by the lane. She pounds the frantic carriageway like a hunted deer, weaves amongst the cut of cars, yet only he can see her. Her body forms from shifting sun, cloud water becomes a lake. As she runs like wild earth turns, leaves from the spring bud ache. And he knows where this will end, turns the key in the car engine lock, glances again, breathes in and out, the horizon is in his look. And she runs like the wind is full in the sails of a tilting boat, calling to the land as she goes, new buds make me a coat. And calling to the land as she runs, clouds give me your grey faces, like a sky before the thunder sticks to my open spaces. And calling to the land as she runs, soil in the tractor's furrow, give me your warm damp earth, your grainy dark tomorrows. A field rises like a swarm of flies, till drenched in mineral brown, throws dry earth over her bare shoulder, she is strata like a mountain. Her body forms from shifting sun, cloud water becomes a lake, as she runs like wild earth turns, leaves from the spring bud ache. He turns the car into the single track, which leads towards the gate. A no-entry sign swings in the rain. A gull perches, quietly waits. In the oilseed crop she runs like time, and on through the silent yard. Fattened pigs all kept in lines, hens held in soundproofed barns. He stands on the muddy track as she comes, mesh of leaf and soil, rain heavy as the ocean floor, her belly bulbous as a seal, and blubbery and flecked with grey, his skin a soft furry sheen. He holds her in his arms and sighs, you run like you can swim. Across flat fields pours the sky, sea escaped from a bulging coast. Culverts swell till they burst like stars, and the two seals are submerged. Their bodies shift with changing tides, and strong-born waves begin. They swim like wild earth dives, as salt crystals encrust new skin. And this is my other response to the to ballad. This one isn't a ballad. It's a first person, but it's not my first person. It's after a ballad called The Cruel Mother, which is a story about a woman who has children out of wedlock in the 16th century, and lots of horrible things that happened to her following that. And me and Emily sat and talked about how kind of cruel and nasty quite a lot of these ballads are. And this is her speaking back, perhaps. I should say she does murder her children, so it's kind of morally ambivalent. So this is The Cruel Mother after the ballad. Amongst the leaves I lie, teeth bared, raw as the sundown. Scattered skins hang on the trees like prayer flags. I am demon, I am the bad one. I am the wild, edible bark. You bit my tongue and made me roar. I will baron you, bust up your eye, scratch at damp dirt with these claws. Where are you? Nest of twigs, den in the woods, hut with smoke at the door. The home burns its riches. My young slide onto the forest floor like eels. They writhe, branches hold them, swaddle small forms with dirt. They call on into the blistering night, sky bubbles and cores. Trees like dogs lick at the moon, wide as horizon, large as sun. The oak I lean on leans back, bark like a spine. Over the fence on the well-kept lawn, I hear them talk. Oh, there is nothing to be done. Nothing, nothing to be done. And I hear him say, it is not his fault. And they all agree it was all up to me. In the green wood, I sing to the hope of rain. I sing to blood which falls and pours. In the garden they sit, drink wine and thunder, wonder where I have travelled towards, but don't stand and search, but talk, and worse, they sigh. Oh, there is nothing, nothing to be done. I will eat these babies, cook them one by one. The greenwood says I should stay the night. The greenwood casts a curse on those who say nothing can be done, and leave me, a wild cat, to run into their sleep in hot, damp beds, into their eyes in the dark. I am a clawed mother, and he will not have them back. Oh, the cruelty he weighed on me. Thank you very much.